Well, that's what you get when you ask three old people to sing on the spur of the moment. We have not done that song in a long time, obviously. Is Jason here this morning? Jason Dutton? Anyway, I want to do this song for him anyway. Pastor asked us to do it, so you listen. I think we can remember the words of Safe Thus Far.
Someone has Appreciate that singing this morning. Now, as much as I like that second song, I don't know why y'all don't sing that more. I really like the last one, but I'll tell you, more than just like the last one, I need the last one. You know why? Because sometimes what I face out there is challenging. Going to work every day, working in the environment, the pressures of life, it's challenging. Trying to stand and do the right thing in the midst of a world that's becoming increasingly adversarial against our Lord. Sometimes I need to be reminded that God's still in control, and He brought me this far, and He can take me the rest of the way. And I believe that the Lord can. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm glad to be at Hiram First Baptist Church this morning. We're going to read this morning in the book of Micah in chapter number 6. And we may read in the book of Isaiah chapter number 1. But I want to talk about on this subject a question. What doth the Lord require of thee? There's a song that Casting Crowns sings. And right at the end of it, it says, seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. And it says those words over and over. And I got to thinking about those words, and I looked this scripture up, and there's actually, that reference is in the book of Micah, and it's chapter 6 and verse 8, but you find a very similar verse over there in the 17th chapter of Isaiah chapter number 1. So if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word, we'll read and pray, and then I'll try to bring what God has laid on my heart this morning. But in Micah chapter number 7, Micah chapter number 6 and beginning in verse number 1. It says, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise and contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherewith have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him, from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now let us pray. Lord, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. God, we're so thankful for your Spirit. Lord, we're thankful that we belong to you, and God, we understand, knowing you, that there is a purpose for our lives, that purpose is beyond us. It's not about us, but Lord, it's about you. God, we seek to glorify your name today. God, we want you to have your way. God, I want you to touch and anoint my lips, my thoughts, everything that I do, that it would be, Lord, what you'd be pleased with. God, just speak through me. God, speak to us through your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, all you do and all you're going to do will give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, you may be seated. I want to really concentrate on this eighth verse, but I want you to kind of look at some of the scriptures as we get into it. He's saying here, I have a controversy with my people. The Lord's saying, I have a complaint. I've done all these things that you might be blessed. I've done all these things that you might be able to have life. I've done all these things that you might be able to prosper. I've done all these things to deliver you from your enemies. But I have a complaint against you. He said, you still come and you offer sacrifice. You know, sometimes people think that's the way that we get around really doing what we're supposed to do, is we offer sacrifice. Well, what could the sacrifice be? Sometimes it could be coming to church on Sunday morning. It could be putting something in the offering plate just when it's passed by. And it could be, as you would have it, paying our dues to the Lord to try to do something in repayment for all He's given us. He said, but I've got a complaint against you. And He says, I'd rather have you living your life in a way that's pleasing to me than to have your sacrifices. Now here's what I want you to understand in this sentence. It says, what doth the Lord require of thee? And I want you to look at this, number one. Number one, He is the Lord. Okay, He's King of kings, He's Lord of lords. He has no equal. There is nobody beside Him. Every other god, every other religion on this planet is fabricated by the heart and the will of man. It comes from a desire of man to work his way into a relationship with God. And if you're not careful, even being in a church where the Word of God is preached, you'll try to fabricate a God of your liking that fits your desires. And folks, the truth is, that's why we got so many options for you out there. Because if you don't like the way I preach, I guarantee you there's somebody down the street that'll soften it up for you. Yeah. But I want to tell you the truth. I'm getting convicted more and more that in America today, rather than softening it up, we need to get right with God. Because if judgment first began at the house of God, then where will the sinner and the unrighteous appear? What does that mean? If we don't show them the way, what way are they going to know? He is the Lord. He has no equal. He is our Creator. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for just a minute. I'll share one thought with you that the man said as he was speaking to the kids up there this week. He was watching them and we had a variety show, okay? And in the variety show, they had eight acts. And I want to tell you a credit to this church. There were five churches there. Out of the eight acts, four were out of this church. They got up and they sang songs, they played the guitar, they glorified God. And he made a comment, the preacher did, after he got up behind them. He said, I enjoyed just watching you. He said, but you do realize that you are nothing but animated dirt. Now think about that for just a minute. The Bible says, from the dust of the earth He created us. He breathed into our nostrils and man became a living soul. Now, if you don't believe that, all it's going to take is one cell in your body moving in the wrong direction and there's nothing you can do about it, your life will be snuffed out. God controls your very breath. He controls everything that you have, everything about you. That's why the psalmist wrote, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're wonderfully made because we're created in the image of a living God. But we're fearfully made because one blood cell bursting. And you won't even be able to think for yourself. All that pride that you have, all that I don't need God, you'll be laying somewhere waiting on somebody to feed you your next meal because God is in control and you are not God. He is the Creator. He is Lord. And if He's Lord, He has the right to require something of you and me. Now, if He's Lord, He's pretty much in charge. Amen? And this is where people have the problem. They don't want to bow to Him as Lord. They don't want to surrender as Lord. They don't want to give Him the glory He deserves. And that's why they're rebelling against God in the masses today. Because they will not bow. Well, see, if He's Lord, He has the right to require something of us. As Lord and as Creator, He has the right to expect something. You see, He sets the standard for us in His Word. If you take God's Word and you look at it, everything since the fall of man has been just really leading up, telling us the story of what God is going to do to redeem us through Jesus Christ, His Son. There are pictures all through the Old Testament that show us, and it's about Him. That's why they call it history. If you break that down, it's His story. It's not my story. It's His story. So he's the creator. He sets the standard. He gives us our direction. He gives us our understanding and standard and laws of what is right and what is wrong. You know, what we want to do today is we want to do it ourselves. And what people are doing is they'll say, well, I think I like this one, but I don't like that one. People say you cannot legislate morality. Well, folks, it's legislated right here in the Word of God. And I'll tell you, what this book says is more important than what any man says. Because we're not God, but He is. So He has the right to require something of us. Now, if you look at this scripture, and it talks about sacrifices, and you go down to the seventh verse, it says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now you think about that for just a minute, and I want you to understand what God is not requiring of you. And I thank God that He doesn't. God does not require your firstborn. He does not require your child as sacrifice. In fact, you know, He loved you so much that if you see the picture that He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay that penalty for us, you see, He doesn't have to have your sacrifice because He's already given His so that you might be able to have life. If we understand what the Lord requires, it's more than sacrifice. You remember the story of King Saul. The Lord told him to go out and fight Amalek. This is in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And he said, when you go fight them, he said, I want you to destroy everything. And he said, I don't want you to bring any sheep back. I don't want you to bring any spoil back. He said, I want it all to be gone. And folks, you know, I want you to understand something. If the enemies of God will one day be destroyed because He's God. You say, well, I just don't understand that if He's a loving God. I want to tell you something. Noah preached 100 years while he was building the ark. And then he told him in 7 days the rain's going to come. The word's been preached. And when the door was shut, it wasn't to shut them out. It was to shut Noah in. There's going to come a time when God's going to come and deliver His church out of here. The question, are you ready to go? The Lord told Saul, those are the enemies of God. I don't want anything that they have brought back to defile our land. And Saul went over there and he fought with them, but when he got over there, you know what he did? He looked at how pretty those sheep were. He looked at how full the wool was. And he looked over there at that king and he thought, you know what he said? I'm going to get some of God's glory because I'm going to march this king in and show what I'm able to do. But when he got back, God was not pleased. And it says Samuel came to him. And Samuel said, what have you done? What have you done? And he said, you know what he said? I've obeyed the Lord. That's what he said. I've obeyed the Lord. I've defeated the Lord's enemy. And Samuel said, well, if you've obeyed the Lord, what meaneth then the bleeding of this sheep in mine ears? You see, sometimes God gives us direction, and folks, to obey is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want sacrifices that are vain from our hearts because we're really not willing to serve and do what God wants. God wants our obedience to Him. And Samuel the prophet said in 15 and 22 of 1 Samuel, says, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now here's the point. What God wants is better than what you want. Doing God's will is better than doing your will. Now, what does the Lord require of thee? He gives us three things here in verse number 8. He says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Number 1, but to do justly. Now, here's what I want you to understand. If you go over to the parallel scripture in Isaiah, I'm not going to read it all, but what it talks about is learn to do well and to seek judgment. Now, here's what God expects. God wants us to do what is right. You know, a lot of times people know what's right, but they're just not willing to do what's right. Have you ever sat down to counsel with somebody and they start saying, you know, the ring in their hands, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. But the reality is they know what to do, but they just won't be obedient to what God is telling them that they ought to do, because they're not willing to give of themselves and to lay down their will for God's will. We got to be willing to do what is right. In James chapter 1 and verse number 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Can I tell you, in America today, the reason we're in the shape we are is we've got people that have been hearers of the word and not doers of the word, and they have no testimony. And so when they go out into the world, they can't witness for Christ, because people know how they really live. And I'll tell you, it starts in the pulpit. Have you ever seen a time when there's so many preachers that have fallen and fallen away from God, and they say, well, people say, well, I used to be in church. I had a preacher that I loved. I had a preacher that could preach, but I found out that he was running around with this one over there, and he was running around with that one over there. I want to tell you something. We ought to have a fear of God in us. We ought to do what's right. I heard a preacher say one time that his philosophy of life, it's simple. He said, do right and don't worry. Not like that. And he kind of giggled. He said, my wife said I need to work on that don't worry part. You know, and I listened to him preach, and he was anointed. But you know, it's just like I said a while ago when they were singing that song, Safe Thus Far. There's times that every one of us come to the point in our lives that the weights of life are heavy down upon us, and we're trying to stand, and we're trying to balance family, we're trying to balance church, we're trying to balance work, and we're trying to do what we're supposed to do. All you can do at that time is say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, like the king did, and cry out to God when your enemies are circling the camp. Do what's right. We know, and here's what I want us to really understand, there is a God. And He's given us His witness. In Acts chapter number 14, verse 17, says this scripture, it says, nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't help but to see God. My family talked me into going down to the aquarium. And folks, I don't like going to Atlanta. I just don't like going down there. We got down there and I got in that aquarium and I got to walking around in there and I got to looking at them fish. And I was looking at that coral reef and I was looking at all them colors. And I got to looking at the differences in the way they were made. And I saw the little seahorse and the sea dragon. And I saw the starfish and they let us touch some. And you know, they were telling us about how many millions of years. You know what I saw? I saw God. I saw God. I saw God's creation. I saw God's handiwork. I saw God's fingerprints. And when I began to look at it, I wondered, why can't people see God? We went to a dolphin show and the dolphins come out and they did all kind of tricks. You know, there were some liberals there that wanted to tell us that, you know, it's amazing that it's us at the top of the food chain and not the dolphins. Can I tell you, the reason we are what we are is because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, created by God in the image of God, for the purpose of God. And God created us because He wanted friends, because He wanted children. And right now, God wants to have a relationship with you. We know. We know what's right. And we know there's a God. We do what's right. And then we treat people right. In Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 31, says, as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. Here's kind of where I'm at. Sometimes I'm in a position, somebody asks me a question or something be going on, and I'm just like, I know something needs to be done, but I don't know what to do. You know what I've learned? Pray. I'm looking for God. I'm wanting God to move. Oh, Lord, do something. Don't let me put my foot in my mouth. I don't want to do that. And, Lord, I don't want to get in your way when you're trying to work in somebody's life or do something and my limited understanding caused somebody to be hurt. You know, sometimes we just need to keep our opinions to ourselves. You know, before I come here, I was at a big church. And I've always worked. Folks, you ought to work.
Amen.
You ought to work. You ought to find something you can do for God.
Yes.
And when I wasn't preaching, I wanted to preach. Y'all know I love to preach. But I couldn't preach. I was teaching Sunday school and I'd preach to them. Then I'd work in Awana and sometimes I'd preach to them. But sometimes they got me to be in a game director for Sparks. That's an experience. And some of them kids, oh Lord. I had one every time he seen me, he'd run up and you couldn't get away from him. He'd grab both britches legs. He kicked my shins till they were swole up. One day I was standing in the hall at church. And I was talking to a man there, and this kid come running down through there, and I said, ooh, that kid right there is rough. He said, yeah, that's my son. I tell you what I've learned. Keep your mouth shut. Now, sometimes it's a little embarrassing, but you know what's more important? The words you say could affect. You know, people get their feelings hurt and they don't come to the house of God. And you just say, well, oh, they ought not to get their feelings hurt. People ought not to carry their feelings on their shoulders. Well, you know, that's true. But our job, if we're seniors and if we're mature and our relationship with God's where it ought to be, we ought to be reaching out to them, trying to grab a hold to them, bring them in where God can do something in their lives and quit making excuses when we do something wrong and sometimes be willing just to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I pray for wisdom every day. I got teenagers. I need it. I'm married. I need it. I work with people that are not perfect. I need it. I'm a member of a Baptist church. I need it. In Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 14, says, but all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know, I'm fascinated at God's creation, and I love the outdoors. And I used to look up a lot of times, and I know they're a lot more common now, but you'd see those Canadian geese flying. And every time I'd hear the squawking, I'd run out and I'd look up. And you could see a bird in the front, and there's a V of birds flying behind. And as I watched them more and more, then I began to learn about them. And I learned the reason that they squawk the way they do is because the birds in the front are stronger than the birds in the back. And if you ever notice at the back of some of these bees, sometimes you'll see birds kind of hovering up and down, and it's almost like they can't stay in line with the others. The birds in the front are squawking so that the birds in the back would be able to understand the importance of staying with the group. It's like encouraging them to hang on for the journey. And sometimes even the birds in the front, because the one in the front is actually cutting the most wind, would swap positions so that they would not lose strength. And furthermore, sometimes when a bird was in the back and it did not have the strength to continue on, it might fall off and go down. And I've seen this to where one of the stronger birds would pull out of the pack and go and wait with the weaker bird until it could go on farther. Now, you know, it says here, if we bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now, you also can understand in nature that if you go see a flock of seagulls, they're squawking, they're moving, they're in all different directions. And it said that you can hang a red ribbon on a seagull, and because it's different than all the other birds will peck it to death. There's too much pecking in God's house. One thing I can't stand, don't think you ought to have it, is clicks. I tell you, there's one click, that's the family of God. You either in or you out. Okay, the Bible says there's two groups. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. One family. We ought to be like these Canadian geese, not like the seagulls. Somebody gets weak, we don't want to leave them behind. Sometimes we got to go looking for them, and that's okay. Heard a man say one time, we don't chase trouble. And I you know what we ought to do? We ought to, it's like this. No acceptable casualties. No acceptable casualties. Lord, don't let my mouth cause somebody to leave and then we make excuse for myself rather than go and try to make it right in the sight of God. Doesn't he say, I want you to do what's right? Don't bring me your sacrifices and not do what's right. It does us no good to put on what we put on Sunday morning, come in, put our offerings in, and say we love the Lord if we're not doing what is right. Scripture says we ought to be like Christ. This is tough right here. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now, I've said this, I said it last Wednesday night, and this is why I say this. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are should be growing every day. Every day. Because the closer you grow in your relationship with God, the more real the Holy Spirit will be when it speaks to you, and your convictions will grow, because if your convictions are not growing, you are not growing. Because if we pray the prayer that David prayed where he said, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked way in me, we'd realize when we come under the microscope of the Holy Spirit that there's always room for improvement in our relationship with God. That's why I realize I'm not walking like Christ. I want to. I really do. But it's a challenge every day. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. And I've got this. This is one of these write it down statements. It says, you can tell much about a person by how they treat people whom they can gain nothing from. I don't know about you, but I've been in churches like this. If you come in and, you know, and I've seen this. You own a big business and you can put big money in this right here. Yeah. Oh, this is brother so-and-so. Yeah. It don't matter how brother so-and-so's living. It don't matter if brother so-and-so's serving. It don't matter if brother so-and-so's faithful. So you can tell much about a person by how they treat people whom they can gain nothing from. And can I say this? The pulpit is not a place to push a personal agenda. Number one, we do justly, we do what's right. Number two, that we love mercy. Love mercy. And I'll tell you, I love mercy because I need mercy. If you go to the book of Isaiah, here's kind of a parallel in the scripture. It says, relieve the oppressed. If you go to James chapter 1 and verse number 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and then to keep himself unspotted from the world. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. James 2:13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Then in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 36, it says, therefore be ye merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now that's why I love mercy. Now here's why I really love mercy. I need grace. I need grace because I live in a house of clay. Do you know that people that live in glass houses should not throw rocks? You know, I mentioned this Wednesday night too. The very time that I find myself being the least bit judgmental against somebody else, God just has a way of reaching up, grabbing that sheet, and jerking it down, and says, what about this? And you know, if you're saved by the grace of God, you already know. You already know. The Holy Spirit reveals it to you. I can't. It's when God comes and He speaks to your heart and He lets you know because He loves you, number one. Number two, it's evidence that you're saved by the grace of God when the Holy Spirit convicts you and comes to you. We belong to Him, and when we are not where we should be, the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. And it speaks to our lives and it lets us know this is what the Holy Spirit comes and does. When the Holy Spirit comes and speaks in your life, it says that is the problem. When the enemy comes, all he does is introduce doubt. He wants you to doubt everything God's done for you. But if there's a problem, the Holy Spirit already says, that's it. And I'm thankful for that. You see, because I need mercy. I love mercy because I'm guilty before God. I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior because I could not, by my own merit, find a way that I would be saved without Jesus. And I need Him. See, mercy defended me. Mercy took my place on the cross. He says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? That's not required. It's not required. Aren't you glad it's not required? Now, if I understand this, and I look at this scripture, the Lord said, I have a controversy with my people because you're offering sacrifice, but the way that you live and the things in your heart, they're not a picture of me or of what I want you to be. He says, love mercy. You see, I grew up, I've been in church my whole life. I've been around preachers that were good men and loved people. I've also been around preachers that were like police dragons at the back door. You walk in, they're looking for you to have something on or say something that they can bombard you or blast you with. Ain't got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart. Not me. But they're looking for something that they could do, and I've seen them run people off because they don't have the mind of Christ or the heart to serve God. I heard an older preacher say, as he got to the end of his life, he said, if I had it to do all over again, I would have helped more people. Now you think about that. What am I going to do at the end of my life? A lot of times sometimes people are like this. They want big numbers. They count. Now, I want the church to grow, but I don't want it to grow so we can say we got a number. I want it to grow so we can say we seen people saved. So we can see people baptized. So we can see people's lives changed. People can come out of the world that they're living in that's so troubling and realize that they can have abundant life in Christ. Sometimes they want to build big buildings so they can put their name in a plaque out on the wall. And then they go to these conventions. You ever been to these places? You know how men are when they get together. I don't think, you know, you meet men and my wife, you know, when she used to work, I'd go and meet them. I couldn't stand this. First thing out of their mouth, what do you do? Where do you work? What do you do for a living? Truth is, I don't tell them. I work for so-and-so company. That's all I do. You know what they want to do? They want to compare their success to your success. And sometimes the bad, you know who's worst? You know why I'm saying this? Preachers are the worst. And when they go down here to Jacksonville to these conventions, you get some little guy that's not anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he gets up and he's bombarding some preacher that preaches at a little church that's following God, and he says, if you got a little church, you got a little ministry. Wow. Better be careful. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out who was right with God and who wasn't. Some of these big shots are going to be at the end of the line. He says, I want you to do what's right. He says, I want you to love mercy. And then the last one goes right into what I just said. That you walk humbly with thy God. You know, everything that we do, all glory belongs to God. See, I'm one of these people that believes that God's greatest attribute is holiness. And the love, some people say, well, I believe God's greatest attribute is love. And I respect that. But I believe that God's love is born out of His holiness. Because holiness puts Him high and above us. You see, when you say God's greatest attribute is love, you say, well, I love people. Are you holy? Are you holy? See, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, I beheld him in the temple. He said, I saw the glory of God, and he was high and lifted up. He was holy, holy, holy. Three times he said it. Because when you repeat something three times in the old Hebrew language, it meant very, very holy. And we want to come before God, and we're sometimes dirty and we're not clean, and we offer sacrifices on the altar and our hands are dirty, and God says, I'm not pleased with those sacrifices. Because a lot of times when we do something, we still want the glory that belongs to God. And I've made this statement before, and I believe it. There's no telling what God can do in this church and what God can do in your life if we don't care who gets the glory. Yeah, it's not about us. It's about Him. In James chapter 4 and verse number 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Real simple. If I'm going to be my best, I have to be my least. You know, I heard a preacher one time, he got up in a church and there was probably 400 people there. And he announced a preacher was coming next week. He said, now we got, that's what he said. He said, this will excite you. He said, now we got a preacher coming next week. And he gave his name. He said, now I went and heard him preach last week, and he said, he preached some little old something. But he's coming. Y'all support him the best you can. And I sat there, and I thought, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? You know, when we look at ourselves and we judge our righteousness or our good by comparing ourselves to somebody else, we're already in the wrong place. We're already wrong. We're already out of God's will. What we ought to do is look at that scripture where it says, if any man say he's in Christ, he ought to walk even as he walked. Are we like Jesus? I got this thing, and this is another something that God has given me. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with being confident. And I'll tell you, when it comes to this book, I know what I believe. I wish I could have a sit down with Madeline Murray O'Hare, but I'm not going to do it if she's not going to listen. But I can tell you this much, she wouldn't devour me. I know what I believe, and I know whom I have believed, that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. But the Bible says not to cast your pearls before the swine. And sometimes Christians need to stay out of those environments. If you can't help them, move to somebody you can. Here's something we need to understand, that confidence and arrogance are separated by a very fine line. And you can be confident without being arrogant. And here's how you tell the difference. The line is distinguished by how you treat people. Think about that. It's how you treat people. You know, if I'm going to invite somebody to come, I'm not going to get up here and tell you, oh, this is a good one. No, that one's not too good. You know what we ought to do? We ought to pray for one another. Hey, you know, when I was up there this week and I saw 4 out of 8 of the groups of our young people. There were 200 young people there. We took 26 young people. 4 out of the 8 groups that got up to sing a song were from our church. I praised God. Amen. We went into the room there that night and I met with them and I said, I feel like a daddy with 26 kids. I'm so proud of all of y'all. But you know, as I sat there and I listened to them, they didn't sound as good as they're going to sound. You ever had the young people up here and they play the guitar for the first time in front of the church and they miss 3 or 4 chords in a row? Their voices go up and down and don't sound as, we're not what we're going to be, but we just need to keep going till God has got us where He wants us. And what we ought to do is support one another, lift one another up, and not offer discouraging words. The glory belongs to God. It's like this. You ever heard anybody say this? Well, if they'd let me sing that song, it would have sounded a whole lot better. Whoa. Who am I? Am I a big reverend? Y'all can say Bishop Holcomb. Or humble preacher. Humble preacher. My big deacon. Or am I an humble servant of the Lord? Am I a big teacher? Or am I an humble teacher and a good listener? You ain't teaching nobody if they're not following you, by the way. And one thing I've learned about teaching, one thing I've learned about being a husband, one thing I've learned about being a daddy, is you got to learn how to listen. Am I a big leader? Or am I an humble servant? And can I remind you that everything you do in the house of God, and I love this church, this is a great church, but everything you do it for God's glory. If you're going to quit because somebody doesn't support you, if you don't quit because everybody that you want to help you is not helping you, if you're going to quit because somebody doesn't come to your class every week, if you're going to quit because people are not going down the road that you want them to go on, if you're going to quit because somebody said something about you, you might as well quit now. Because what we do it for the Lord. We do it for His glory. It's not about us. It's not about our name and likes. It's about Jesus. That's why no matter if you're saved by the grace of God, no matter where you go, and I mention this to our young people, when you run into Christians that are saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God and we can have fellowship with them. And they, you know why? Because they're part of our family. See, ministry is about showing people Jesus. It's all about Him. Oh, go ahead, brother. Get ready with your song. I'm going to ask you this. I'm about to come to a close. But the conclusion, are we fulfilling what God has required of us? Folks, now's the time. Can I tell you that in my lifetime, I've never seen a time like this. Never seen a time when we have so much rebellion and turning away from God, open mockery, rejection of the truth. Am I doing justly? Am I doing what is right in the sight of God? The next question, do I love mercy? Am I merciful to those who need mercy? Do I walk humble? Or am I taking the credit for what the grace of God has done? Not only, you know, you can take God's credit in your own life, you can try to take God's credit in other people's lives. If you're blessed, if you're good looking, if you can sing, you didn't have nothing to do with it. You really didn't. You didn't even choose to be born male or female, but you're here because you're the creation of a living God and God wanted offspring. Do I walk humbly or I take in the credit for what the grace of God has done? But here's the most important question, and I'll ask you this. Do I know for sure that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? Have you ever prayed and asked God into your heart and said, Lord, I want to know that when I die, and you're going to die, when I die, that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven? You see, because a man's days are just 70 years, that's 70 years. When I was 15, I thought that was eternity. Now that I'm turning 50, I think it's tomorrow. But the truth is, you're going to die. You're going to stand before God, and when you stand before Him, you know, we can go through the things in life, and we can look at the things that we've done right and we've done wrong, and folks, I wish I could wash all of them away, but they're guilty in my heart right here. But you know what Jesus has done? He sent His Son to die on the cross. So that when God the Father looks at me, He has to look at me through the veil of Jesus Christ. That's why the Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Remember, this is animated dirt. It came from the dirt. It's going back to the dirt. But that soul and that spirit is going to be with God in eternity. And if it doesn't go to be with God, what's the opposite of God? Anything that God is not involved in, that God is absent from, is hell. And that's where this country's headed without Jesus Christ. As we sing this song, if you would stand to your feet, if God spoke to your heart, my heart's desire and prayer is that you would know Jesus Christ as your Savior, number one. And I want to tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, you can go to the altar every time the doors are open to this church. It's all right with me. Can I tell you that I, as Paul did, I have to pray and I have to die daily. There's always things that God brings up that you need to rebuke in your own life. You and God, not about me. As we sing this song, if God spoke to anybody's heart, this is your opportunity to pray.
Ooh.
want to do one more thing this morning. We want to open the doors of the church, but we've got folks that have gotten saved. We got some going to come forward, and we thank God for what He's done and what He's doing in our youth and in our young people. Lily, you want to tell them what God done for you in Bible school? Lily's shy like Luke.
I got saved.
Lily wants to come and be baptized. We've also had several others that got saved in Bible school that are going to come and be baptized. We're going to have baptizing on July the 12th. We've got quite a few folks to get baptized. Now, it's exciting to me because my little boy Luke, he's scared of the water. Okay? He got saved a couple of years ago. He did not want to be baptized. But he come up to me and he said, "Daddy, when you're baptized, I want to be baptized." So, it's exciting. It's exciting. You know, we've got, I could start naming names. I'll miss some, so I'm not going to do that, but I know we're going to have quite a few. Now, some church is over. This first little Sunday school room on the left, I want to just meet and get some names so we can start getting prepared for that so we can have everything together. But we're going to sing one verse of song. If you're here this morning, you feel like that this is a place you'd like to be, we'd like to have you. We're excited about what God's doing. We're excited about what God's doing in our young people. We're excited about what God's doing in all of the people of this church. And, there's a lot going on around here, and we're excited about it. So if you want to come be a part of it, you're welcome at this time. The doors of the church are open.